Welcome to episode 110 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will know the exact translation of tienes mucha cara, understand the difference between face and cheek, become aware of many different expressions connected to the word face, and feel as if you are literally sitting face to face with us in the studio. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we are going to be talking about one particular word in English that would be translated into Spanish as cara. Now you probably in your mind already know what that English word is, but we are going to show you a whole new world in terms of expressions with that particular English word that we're going to focus on. And as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi Alistair, how are you doing?
Hi, Daniel. I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm good. Yes. Good. So,
raring to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, I in the intro, I said it's the Spanish word cara, right? Because In Spanish, there you can say, like, tienes mucha cara, no?
That's quite a common expression, at least in Spain. Again, it is. Latin American listeners, I'm not so sure, but here, yes, very common. Tienes mucha cara. So people often ask, I've had many times going, how do you say that in English? Well, they say, you have a lot of face. They translate it directly and say, well, that just means you've got a big, you know, literally a lot of face. So a big face doesn't mean what I know it means in Spanish.
Yeah.
So how would you say that, Daniel, if you want to express that concept?
It's interesting, isn't it, that particular one, because that would be the direct translation, obviously, and often there's always that temptation to go for the direct translation. But in English, you have to go to one part of the face, right, to really project that idea, right? So if somebody or alguien tiene mucha cara, in English, we've got one word that really describes that whole situation. To be cheeky, right?
Yes.
Or he's very cheeky, she is very cheeky. Obviously, you use it often with children related to their behavior, right?
Very cheeky. Don't be cheeky is what your parents would often say to you. Stop being cheeky. Don't answer back.
That's right.
With your cheeky face. Yeah, so cheek is, I can't remember the Spanish word for cheek. I know it. There's two.
I think it's moflete, isn't it?
Moflete. It's moflete, and there's another word, but I don't remember the other one. But moflete, definitely, yes.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying, it's like turning moflete into an adjective, mofletoso, that doesn't exist, but that would be the equivalent. So we're sort of similar idea in Spanish, you know, a lot of face, but in English we're choosing one particular part of the face. You have two cheeks on your face, no?
Yeah.
And we say you're very cheeky. So I suppose like saying tienes mucho moflete, but we don't say it in that way. We use an adjective. So from the word cheek, we add a Y and say cheeky.
Yeah.
Say, don't be cheeky, or he's very cheeky. Oh, that was a very cheeky answer to my question.
Yeah.
Nice word, cheeky. I like it. So sounds good.
It does. It can be as in, you know, said in a nice way or not so nice way, right? It's kind of got two sides to it.
Depends because on if the a context. Kid
is. Yeah, if a kid is being cheeky but nice sort of cheeky, it's kind of like.
Funny
cheeky. So it's not really a bad, but then it's got the negative side as well. You know, they're just absolutely, you know, very cheeky in terms of like, I don't know, they don't pay their what their costs or whatever it might be, you know, or they don't pay their bills, for example. They're very cheeky.
I suppose you can be cheeky in a funny way. So you often describe, you know, some comedian as a cheeky comedian
who
comes out with funny comments and we go, oh, you're so cheeky. So it's very much context and how you say it.
It is, absolutely.
So sometimes, you know, somebody flirting with a member of the opposite sex, well, or the same sex, whatever, flirting.
Yeah.
And, you know, saying cheeky things and the person's like laughing, going, oh, you're so cheeky.
Yeah.
So it's a, And then another case, as you say, with kids answering back to the parents in a bad way. He says, don't be cheeky. You know, don't talk to your father like that. Or so it's very, so it can be good or bad. It just depends really on exactly what you're doing and to whom and how.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the tone with it, which it's
the
said.
The tone of voice that which it's said, exactly. So So it's very, it's sort of flexible in that sense.
It is, it is. But we wanted to take it a little bit further, just as I said in the intro, right? We wanted to take that word. So in English, obviously, if you want to go with that expression, tienes mucha cara, then you have to remember that word cheeky. But we wanted to go back to the whole idea of cara in itself, right? And the translation there being face. And there are quite a few expressions with face that can be applied to a business context, can't they?
Well, life in general and definitely in business situations, all of these we've chosen. I think we sort of saw, we came up with about 10 or so, and we've chosen, I don't know how many in the end,
seven
of those that we thought the good expressions, common expressions, and definitely can be used in a work business situation and in other situations too.
Absolutely.
Quite like some of these. We thought, oh, it's a nice expression. Some of these I'd forgotten. I haven't sort of, you go, oh, yeah, of course, yes.
Of course, yeah. Always the difference between passive and active vocabulary there, really, isn't it? Because it's like, even as native speakers, we kind of say, oh, yeah, all of these expressions we understand.
We know them.
Intuitively, obviously, as native speakers. But we don't maybe use them on a daily basis, but they can be then confusing for non-native speakers, right? So I think it's interesting to talk about them and get them into our audience gets them into their passive vocabulary, right?
At least to understand them, as we've said many times. Now, maybe not use them or try. I think some of these, they're not that difficult. And I think people could select two or three that they like and try to, you know, start using them. But yeah, definitely at the beginning is understanding them, because you will read them, you'll hear people. They're very common, all of them.
Yeah.
So you will hear people using them, especially native speakers, obviously, and you need to understand what they're, because it could be a bit confusing. Yes, they're not. You know, if you look at the literal meaning, it's quite often quite different to what the real meaning is. Well, that's what expressions are.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. So we've got seven, as we said, and we, as we've said also, we do think they're quite useful in different types of contexts. So what we'll do is we'll go through them, giving a little bit of a explanation of the meanings and any sort of anecdotes and stories that we can come up with as well as we go along. Yeah. So, the number one in this particular case, Alistair, is to face the music. Now, this is interesting because we actually have two versions of this. We'll go with face the music first, and then we'll kind of explain another alternative. But face the music, what does that mean? I don't think there's any expression in Spanish that's quite the same as that, is there?
But definitely not using music.
Yeah.
So, that's where you need to understand. You may not use this, but somebody could definitely use it in a meeting or a work situation. So, you know, this, I'm afraid this person's, you know, just going to have to face the music. Mm-hmm. And we think, music? Yeah. Face the music? What, stand there listening to, you know, to, what does that mean? So it's nothing to do with music. So what does it mean, Daniel, to face the music? I don't know if you've got a definition there or...
I do. The kind of a formal definition would be to confront the consequences of one's actions. It's kind of interesting that one's actions, isn't it?
But, your or his or her or whoever you're talking about. So you could have a colleague at work as he made some big mistake, some big error and the boss is not very happy with them, and you just say, well, you know, they're just going to have to face the music. So they're in trouble with somebody, with the boss, let's say, and there's going to be some, well, maybe not losing the job, maybe not that serious. Could be. So, you know, what is the music? Well, it's the consequences of your actions. You made some error, maybe lost the company money or whatever it may be. And, you know, you're going to have to face the music. So you're going to have to accept your punishment, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Or at least the boss saying, oh, you shouldn't have done that. And you have to sit there and take it and go, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
So and maybe... Maybe that's what the music is in this case. It's that negative feedback, right?
Yeah, exactly. That is the music, you know, that you're listening to, this criticism that you're receiving.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the punishment, the criticism, the negative energy feedback that you're getting.
Yeah.
And why are you getting it? Because you've done something wrong, you know. You've made a mistake, an error, and you have to face... Well, face. I'm using face as a verb now. To face up to is a phrasal verb, which is also useful to mention at this point. So when you face the music, you can describe what it is using the phrasal verb with face. So what is it? It's facing up to, so confronting the consequences of your actions, which could be some form of negative feedback or even losing your job in a very serious, you know, facing the music could be being fired.
Of course,
it could be a serious case.
Yeah.
Or politicians facing the music, big mistake, and they don't get voted back into office.
Or they get fired
from their post as a minister. There's all levels of facing the music.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So that's a nice one and an interesting one, and can actually be, sort of replaced or is very similar to another one, which is maybe more logical, but is kind of useful to mention here as well, because you can say face the consequences as well, can't you? Which basically is exactly the same as face the music.
Yeah, because the music are the consequences. So you just replay. So face the music would be confusing to a Spanish speaker, understandably, because there is no music. What does that mean?
Sure. Yeah.
But I think if you said face the consequences, you can sort of translate that literally, and a Spanish speaker would say, oh, okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
It's the music. There, it's replacing consequences with music that causes the problem. That's the one you need to understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's like consequences is very similar in Spanish, isn't it?
Same word, basically.
Yeah. So the idea there is super easy to probably understand. Mm. So, but just shows how two different phrases, right, that mean exactly the same thing could be much, you know, on the one hand be really difficult to understand because you've got no idea what it means, and on the other, if the native speaker just decides to use consequences instead, is kind of completely logical, right? So
and it's just your luck or bad luck which one, because the native speaker, of course, as we mentioned many times before, they're not thinking of you and your ability to understand English or not, and also they wouldn't even be aware that expression, face the music, as opposed to using the word consequences, would make it more difficult for you, a non-native speaker, to understand.
Sure, absolutely.
Because they're not thinking of that, and they're not aware of it. They're not teachers. They don't speak your language, so they don't know. Yeah. Maybe you have the same expression in your language. They've got no idea.
Yeah.
So you know, not filtering. Well, generally speaking, native speakers don't filter their language.
Not at all.
Or they don't know how to filter.
That's so true. That is so true.
We know because we live here, we speak Spanish. I know what's going to be difficult for a Spanish speaker to understand or not, or what I would expect them to know or not.
Mm.
So I may not say face the music. I'd stop myself perhaps and say face the consequences.
I would too. Definitely. No question.
Coming from London to a meeting in Spain, it would never occur to them to change that expression, because it's, you know, they're just speaking, they're not thinking, they're not analyzing what they're saying, and are they going to be able to understand me when I say this?
I think that's kind of interesting, isn't it, because they wouldn't have a perception, just like you said just now. Okay, they don't have any perception of what is difficult, but they wouldn't even be able to say, like, okay, the word consequences is very similar in Spanish. They wouldn't even have that,
they wouldn't
knowledge,
know
right?
that yeah
no
they don't speak
they wouldn't
Spanish
know
so.
That. No.
Exactly. So, that's why these things are difficult with. Maybe other non-native speakers, it's easier, and it often is, because they probably say consequences and not music, unless they knew that expression.
Sure.
But they probably wouldn't. Sure. So you're speaking to a German, Italian, a Russian, whatever, Japanese person. Yeah. They're unlikely to use that expression. They may do.
Yeah.
They have a very high level of English, but they're much more likely to say consequence. You go, oh, that's easy to understand. But then the guy from USA or Australia or wherever is maybe more likely to say face the music. Well, 50-50, really.
50-50.
So you just got to be lucky, you know. It's like, I understood that. Or face the music? What's he talking about?
Sure. It's that difference between sort of global international English or more sort of... because, you know, if it was global international English, and I don't know, and it's Italian speaking or something like that, then it's much, much more likely that they're going to use consequences, right? Like face the consequences, much, much more likely, because probably consequences also in Italian.
And the word probably very similar, I would imagine, from Latin. It sounds very Latin because it's the same in English.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. So there you go. The first one, Face the Music. That's the one to be aware of, I think, is the key thing there. Not necessarily to get into your active vocabulary yet. If you want to, you can try, definitely. But it's just, you know, making sure that you know it and know its meaning. Number two is on the face of it. What does that mean, Alistair? On the face of it.
On the face of it. So again, just looking at the words on the face of it, you know, the face of what? What are you talking about? Yes, so on the face of it. Yeah, it's quite a common expression, on the face of it.
It is.
Do you have a definition for that? I think you've got a nice little definitions for most of
these. I do. Yeah, it's based on what is immediately evident or obvious. Okay?
Yes. So the face represents that, no? The immediate, well, I suppose when you see someone, what do you see immediately? Their face.
Yeah.
But you don't really know the person, really, or the personality. All you see is a face. And then obviously you make, it's like first impressions, or you make judgments on people very quickly, just on what you see, you know, superficially, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So on the face of it, you think something about someone or something, but it's superficial. You've not gone into great depth to research or find out more about this thing or person.
Yeah. So it's kind of like your initial sort of idea, no, about something. Like on the face of it, and this could be obviously applied to like maybe interview situation where you've got several candidates, right? And you might say, on the face of it, I think Javier is probably the best candidate. It seems from looking at his CV, looking at his experience, looking at what he's done in the past. On the face of it, I would say Javi is the best,
So he would seem or appear, which are other words you could use, to be the best candidate. So just based on that, the curriculum. So maybe you haven't spoken to this guy, maybe not even seen him. All you're doing is reading his or her CV. So you say, well, on the face of it, of the 10 applications we've had, 10 candidates, this one, on the face of it, appears to be the best one. But who knows? We need to interview them and find out, because there could be all sorts of other factors, personality, whatever, that changes your opinion. Yeah,
later on,
in the process.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Which often happens, in fact.
Of course it does. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. You can't really get all the information from just one piece of paper, right? So in many cases...
Yeah, it's just an initial feeling about something or someone based on very little information at this point, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, quite a lot of information, but you don't know the person, or this person is the right person for the job. All you know is they've got a very nice CV. You say, well, on the face of it, this person would appear to be the obvious leading candidate, no, the favourite. Well, this happens a lot in sport and all kinds of things, no, on the face of it. So whenever you have Rafa Nadal playing maybe not now because he's near retirement, but in his best days, playing the number 150 in the world in the first round of Wimbledon, on the face of it, you'd expect, you know, Rafa Nadal should win easily.
Sure.
Based on your assumptions of, well, but maybe not. Maybe that's not what happens. No?
Yeah.
Sure, but that's what you would expect or think to happen based on the obvious information you have at that moment. No?
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Number two, on the face of it. Yeah. An interesting one. Also, maybe not completely understandable immediately, right? That one is like, could include a certain level of confusion. So definitely worth noting that one down. Number three is face value. And the definition here is the apparent worth or significance of something at first glance. Now, often
so very
we say,
similar.
Yeah, it is similar, actually. Ones. Yeah, yeah. And often I think we put at the front, at face value, no? Something like that.
Yeah, at face value is true. We put that preposition at face value.
Yeah.
Don't take something, it's often in a negative, like it's not good to take things at face value, no?
Sure.
You need to look beyond the... So it is very similar to on the face of it, but slightly different. There's a good expression it might be the same in Spanish. I think it's quite a universal expression. Don't judge a book by its cover, which basically is, you know, the face. Well, the face of the book is the cover. It's what you see, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe it's got a lovely drawing or lovely photograph on it or beautiful design. So it makes you think, ooh, you know, maybe the book is a fantastic book, but not necessarily, you know. Don't judge a book by a cover. It may have a wonderful cover but be a dreadful book, or vice versa. terrible cover, very badly designed, very cheap looking, but a fantastic story. So the same with everything, no? With people as well, you know?
Yeah.
As we said before about a candidate in an interview process, no? So your first impression of the way they dress, or maybe, I don't know, how they have their hair, long or short or whatever it may be, maybe shouldn't, you know, don't judge them on that, on face value.
Yeah. I often use this in the negative form, actually, I think, of just thinking about it now. Negative, it's kind of like, often I would say, like, don't take it at face value, something like that. I don't know why I would use it more in the negative.
No, I think it is more negative. It's a warning, isn't it, about you know, doing what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't just base things on initial ideas or first impressions.
Or superficial things.
No? Superficial things.
Yeah.
Often what people say as well, it's almost a way of saying don't necessarily believe what that person's saying.
Yeah.
You know, you need to research it. So it's fake news, actually, isn't it, in a way?
Or even marketing, you know.
Yeah, marketing. This product is the best and fantastic because they're trying to sell it to you. So obviously they're only telling you the positive aspects of something, not the negative. So don't take it at face value. Or don't take what this person says, this politician or whoever it may be, on face value, or this product. So, you know. Yeah. Obviously, they're going to tell you they're wonderful and fantastic. That's what they want you to believe, you know. The politician wants you to vote for him or her. But don't just take them or take what they say at face value. Exactly. Look beyond that. No, do a bit of research, you know. Find
do
out
your homework.
More. Listen,
do your homework.
Do your homework, yeah. Listen to other opinions.
Yeah.
Et cetera, no? So, So, yeah, you say it's often a warning to people, like, don't just believe the first thing you hear or the first thing
absolutely.
You see.
Absolutely. Yeah, and in that way, it has number two and three have a lot of connection in that way. It's kind of like that first impression sort of idea, isn't it? It's like, the first impression, you know, is it good? Is it bad? In many cases, make sure that you look into it a little bit more deeply because, you know, you don't want to take something at face value. You want to really know the details, really, as you say, do your research and don't make any quick decisions.
Instant,
you know, just,
quick decisions. Yeah. Like selecting candidates for a job in a business sense.
For example.
Actually, you could use the two sentences together. It just occurred to me. So talking about, you know, on the face of it, going back to the candidate for a job, you know, on the face of it, purely based on the CV, this seems to be the best candidate. But, you know, you can't take that at face value. So you can't just use a CV that is insufficient evidence or evidence information to decide, oh, yeah, we're going to hire this person. So, you know, you can't take the CV on face value. It's useful, of course. It's necessary to begin the process and select, you know, your first, whatever, five candidates to interview, perhaps. That's you're using the CV initially, no?
Yeah,
but you know, don't take that on face value. So you've got to go deeper than that. You've got to see these people, interview them, find out a lot more about them. No?
Yeah.
So you could sort of you know, use both phrases in the same sort of situation.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. Yeah. Good. Number four is to save face. Now, this is
ahora,
really
ahora cara. It's like saving, like saving money, or you're saving faces. It does sound very strange when
strange,
you translate
right?
it literally.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting because you could maybe a formal definition would be to avoid embarrassment or some sort of humiliation. But actually, it's a little bit more complex than that, isn't it? It's because what it actually means is that you've done something wrong and you kind of want to kind of engage in some sort of action so that you minimize the embarrassment, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes you look better. Or as you say, reduce the embarrassment or the humiliation.
Yeah,
that's why you're saving the situation. Are you trying to improve it? So you've said something silly or stupid in a meeting or made a mistake. And maybe, you know, you're a bit worried about having to face the music because of that mistake or that silly thing you said in the meeting or incorrect thing. You could see maybe a colleague's not very happy with you. But you need to save face. Maybe save face with the boss. So you've got to do something or say something very positive that's going to improve that situation and not so you know your boss might go you know I can't think of an example but yes so you've got to recover the situation, haven't you, and minimize and reduce that embarrassing thing that you said or did or
exactly And I think this is often what, I suppose when I say famous people, it can be obviously politicians or even sports things that they maybe said on social media that were like incorrect, or they felt they were too emotional, they said something bad, right? Often they release a statement afterwards, right? Yeah. A statement. And then
always released a statement.
Yeah, exactly. And then always they would sort of apologize, and they would say that they don't really feel what they were saying. You know, it was
they didn't mean it.
Of,
it was
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they apologize, et cetera, et cetera. And that is a process of saving face, right? Because in the end, said something was incorrect, and now they want to save face by obviously apologizing, which is the right thing to do. But in this particular case, yeah, that is a process of saving face, isn't it? It's to
Exactly. There's good examples. It's very typical with celebrities and sports people, and often football players, they come off the pitch, they're very angry, or football managers, maybe even worse, they're really angry about a referee's decision or something. And when they do an interview, 2 minutes after the game's finished, they're very, very agitated and angry, and they say things that then they regret.
Sure.
Very quickly afterwards.
Yeah.
So maybe later they have to, they're receiving a lot of criticism in the media for having said this, whatever it may be. And then they have to try and, oh dear, no, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I've got to recover this situation. Got to make myself look better. No?
Yeah.
So you say they'll come out with a statement saying, I deeply regret those comments I made, but it was in the heat of the moment. That's a very common excuse, no? In the heat of the moment, I was very angry, but I didn't really mean it, and I apologize, and blah. So that process is saving face, no?
Yeah. Good one. It's a nice one, and it's certainly, again, not intuitive in terms of just literally understanding what it means, right? To save face, got no idea. If you look at it sort of directly at the words, as you said right at the beginning of this particular point, right? It's like, you're not saving faces at all in the bank or anything like that, right? So
exactly.
It's complex to understand initially, that's for sure. So if you heard it, you might well be confused initially, but this is the whole process of at least identifying it in your brain so that you have some sort of inkling about what this
inkling,
native speaker
nice
is
nice word
saying.
There yeah. inkling some yeah. kind of
probably
idea.
Should explain that word right yeah inkling yeah. It's some sort of idea, isn't it?
Idea, feeling, inkling.
Yeah.
Insight, maybe.
Yeah,
similar
something
meaning.
Like that. Yeah. Good. So there you go. Number four, to save face. And we've got three more, which we'll kind of rattle through quickly. Number five is to face the facts, which is in a way similar to number one, isn't it? Of facing the music and facing the consequences. You have to face the facts, it's basically sort of to accept
face
or
reality.
Acknowledge.
Yeah. Good words. Accept, acknowledge reality. You know, you have to face the facts. So maybe there's a situation or something we don't like. In a business sense, I don't know. Maybe it's you might have lost a big contract with a client. So the negotiation has not gone well. They've decided to go to the competitor. You've lost them. You're not happy about it. Nobody's happy about it. Everyone's a bit, this is terrible. But, the boss says, we just got to face the facts that we've lost this customer and we've got to move on and, find another one. So get working on it. No? So you can't be sitting around like, oh, dear, complaining. So, face the fact. So, face the reality. Accept the reality of the situation and get on with your life, or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Don't look at it through rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah, and try to make it sound better or make excuses or pretend that nothing happened and everything's okay. It's going, sorry, you got to face the facts. Accept the reality of the situation and move on and continue.
Yep.
I think that one's fairly easy to understand. I think if you said face the facts, would be able to understand it.
Yeah. They would. Because face is kind of affrontar, right? So, affrontar los hechos. No?
La realidad, hechos. Los hechos, So I think that one's maybe of all of them is the easiest to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And then this one is also, and the next one, number six, is actually quite easy to understand.
And very common, most people know it.
Yeah. So face-to-face is kind of like something very close to home for us, because obviously a lot of our training was done face-to-face initially.
We were trained initially.
yeah, face-to-face, but now everything's pretty much online. But yeah, face-to-face is direct interaction, right, between people and close proximity or whatever.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think most of our listeners will know that. It's very common.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're working remotely and you're doing video conferences, then it's not face-to-face. But obviously, if you're in the same room with somebody, then so often you talk about, oh, I've got this meeting. Say, is it face-to-face or is it online or remote? Mm-hmm. And this is obviously very fashionable, well, very current, you know, since the pandemic. Lots of people working remotely, doing video conferencing. And so it's not face-to-face. Absolutely. You know, face-to-face is less and less these days. So I don't do any face-to-face classes at all.
Yeah,
it's all
quite
online.
Incredible, really, isn't it? Yeah.
It is such a transformation.
How the world has changed. Yeah.
Exactly, incredible. Yes. Wow. Yeah. And before, everything was face-to-face. It's gone one extreme to the other.
I know. Quite astounding. You know? But that's actually... it's not unusual that in those moments of sort of real upheaval, como se dice en inglés, it's like that moment of the coronavirus and such a change to our sort of daily life, right? Often these moments of problems and massive change, where it can be like a war or something like that as well, they've actually monitored those sort of events. In those particular events, it's very, very common that there is a sudden massive change of behavior. So it's not unusual that we sort of encountered that problem and then our change, there was a significant change in behavior from face-to-face to sort of remote working. So
it's normal, I suppose. Yes, interesting. You said coronavirus. That was sounds so old-fashioned though. Because remember, at the beginning, it was all coronavirus.
It's true, yeah.
And then at some point, I can't remember when, it became COVID.
It did, yeah.
And then all it was COVID, 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 and people stopped using the word corona. So I haven't heard that for a while. I'd almost forgotten that it was... There were a lot of jokes at the beginning because there's a famous beer from Mexico, Corona.
Yeah.
And people made lots of jokes about that, you know, say, oh, they'll have to change the name, or who wants to buy Corona beer?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, if you remember that. But that was right at the beginning. And then
it was.
Then quite quickly, really, that phrase sort of disappeared and everything was COVID.
COVID, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Good. And then the last one, which is, this is definitely a bit more difficult to understand, that's for sure. So the last one is two-faced. Now, this is always about somebody, normally, okay? So
it's always a person, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Two faces. I think in Spanish you can say somebody has dos caras, possibly.
Maybe, yeah.
So maybe this isn't too difficult to understand.
Mm,
it's the way we say it, though. We don't say you have two faces. We say you are, it's an adjective, two-faced. You change face into an adjective by adding a D, ED at the end. No? So you say someone is two-faced.
Yeah.
Not that they have two faces. If you said two faces, it sounds like literally they have two faces, which is obviously impossible. But if they're two-faced, it's about their character, no? It's a negative always, being two-faced.
And often we would add something like a bit, wouldn't we? We would say, they're a bit two-faced.
Yeah, depends how much. Yeah, very two-faced or a bit two-faced. Or depends to what extreme.
sure, absolutely. And the degree. idea is that the person is sort of deceptive, insincere, sort of presenting one image to somebody and then another image to others, right? So like a certain level of inconsistency in terms of presenting themselves and what they stand for, right?
Yeah, like sort of split personality, or at least the way you present yourself. You're not really necessarily have a split personality, but you present one image of yourself to one person or group and a very different one to another group, usually because you're trying to get, you know, for your benefit in some way.
You want something
or to gain some advantage. So it's not seen as a good thing. So you're not being totally honest. You're insincere.
Exactly.
In a business sense, obviously, it could be you could have a two-faced client. So maybe you've got this customer client you work with, but maybe they present a very different face. So imagine when they're speaking to the CEO or the big boss of your company, they're all very polite and friendly and very nice and whatever, submissive even perhaps. But when they talk to you and you're maybe the person who regularly has to deal with them as the purchasing manager, whatever you are, they're totally different. They're completely aggressive, difficult, rude. And you go, wait a minute, is this the same person? So they're two-faced, you know, one face for the big boss and another one for me.
Completely. Good. Yeah, very nice. That's the last one. Number seven, Two-Faced. Yeah. Quite tricky. I don't know whether everybody would immediately understand that. But again, as you say, it would depend on how close it is to Spanish expression there to be to know whether that would be really difficult or not. But yeah, two-faced is definitely something that is quite used frequently by, you know, by native speakers, isn't it?
Often about people like politicians being two-faced.
Yes, that was about to say. Yes.
Yeah. Because obviously they'll say one thing to one group and another to another just to get votes. Sure.
Yeah. So, and it's not particularly, the way they speak is not particularly clear. So it'd be even quite difficult to know that they're sort of contradicting themselves, right? So,
And often very insincere.
Sure. Good. Alistair, thank you very much for that. Let's go quickly through the expressions that we've done today. So obviously we started out with the whole idea of cara and the whole, in English, the translating the expression tienes mucha cara, which would be cheeky in English, to be cheeky. And we kind of referenced sort of children who are often cheeky a little bit, and it can be sometimes positive or negative depending on the context and the tone. But then we went through seven different expressions with the word face specifically, which can be very much applied to business environments, but also general environments as well. So number one was to face the music, which we thought would be pretty difficult to understand if you were not aware of that particular expression, but can also be used into a different way, which would be face the consequences, which is a lot much easier to understand, right? Then number two was on the face of it, which was a really nice one, very much connected to number three, which is face value. Both of them sort of really related to your first impressions of something. It's slightly different, but very similar in many ways, on the face of it and face value. Number four, to save face, is often related to the idea that you've done something badly and you want to save your reputation in some way, and you need to do something to save face, right? Minimize the impact of this bad thing that you've done. Number five was to face the facts, which we kind of felt was probably more easily understood. You just have to be sort of realistic. We have to face the facts. We've done this, is maybe not as good as it was last year, and we need to face those facts. We need to be honest. We need to be realistic, right? Number six was face to face, which again I think would probably be fairly understandable. It's kind of face to face communication. You're in the same room, you're not working remotely. And finally, number seven, which was two-faced, which is kind of where you present one image or idea or image of yourself, let's say, to a group.
Aspect of your personality.
And then another one to someone else, you know. So,
which is often contradictory, is there?
Good. Alistair, thank you very much for that. That was great. I really enjoyed it, as usual. And we'll be back again in a week's time. So thank you very much.
Cheers. Enjoy.
All right. Cheers. Speak soon. See you then.
Bye. Bye-bye.